Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
It's going to be a big old emotional rivalry game, even this early in the season. A lot to talk about with John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers, on the UMA guest line. John, we always look forward to the conversation. You're always honest and forthright with us. We look forward to it all. And how you doing this Friday morning, man?
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm doing all right. Getting ready to get out there and watch our guys play again. It feels like it's been like 10 days since we last played, and I think it's because we have to wait till Monday night. But we're having a good week of preparation, and that needs to continue. Obviously, playing the reigning Super Bowl champs in the Rams.
John, you're a competitor. How do you balance? And I'll say this indelicately: how do you balance being incredibly pissed by losing and understanding that there's 14 more to go and trying to stay
focused and all that?
Balanced. Good How question. Do you balance that?
Right. I think because I've done this for a long time, and I mean that just from reality, and I do get pissed. I get plenty. Because I know how talented we are, we're a very good football team, and I think I like our makeup as well. So yeah, it's frustrating when things don't go your way, but I know that as long as we continue to improve and get better each and every day, we've got the makings of a very good football team. You do back yourself into a corner though when you don't take care of the business that you're supposed to, or that you should. Every game takes on a little more magnitude. And I think what's most important is that we just focus on the things that we can definitely control, which is playing up to our capabilities, playing together, protecting the football, taking the football away, all those things that have such a big correlation with winning and losing that we have control over. That's what we really need to focus on, and that's what we are focusing on right now.
So obviously the NFL is a quarterback league. And obviously, we all talked about Trey Lance and Jimmy ad nauseum, and here we go, Jimmy's performance on Sunday. Now the fallout, John, here it comes. And I know your guys' job is just to practice, but old 49ers are checking in. Brent Jones does a weekly show here, and he was upset at Jimmy smiling and chatting it up with an old teammate on the field.
After the game,
He said, "Why am I more mad than Jimmy?" And then Steve Young came on the afternoon show and said he's concerned about toxicity. He said, "Creative tension is good, toxic tension is bad." And he wondered if Jimmy could feel a resentment at basically getting fired. That's Steve's word. Steve's like, "Hey, Jimmy got fired by John and Kyle, and now he's there to play for him." So he's concerned about a possibility of resentment. I know Kyle addressed it yesterday. I'll give you a chance to address it now. Where do you check in on this? He's a human being. He got fired by you guys, and now he's back, and it didn't go well in week one. How do you handle that situation?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, Brent Jones and Steve Young are two 49er legends that I have tremendous respect for. And the other thing that I appreciate, the passion of our alumni. They really care. You know, they do. I love that, they're obviously not just behind us every week and saying whatever we're saying, reading talking points. These guys are guys that really care about the 49er way. When they see something they don't like. Now, I will say, I venture to say that after a loss at some point in his career, if Brent Jones, there weren't many guys from Santa Clara playing in the league. Cam Fleming, the guy in that picture, is a guy Jimmy played a lot of football with at New England. And so I've been there before, and I think I was as competitive as anyone. You see an old friend, this is professional football. This isn't college where the coach tells you, "Hey, no one smiles or you're running gassers," It's like, you saw an old friend and probably said, Cam Fleming probably said something that made Jimmy chuckle. So here's what I can tell you. I can't, speak, and I'm fine with Brent saying that, but I can tell you Jimmy is a tremendous competitor. And so I know how much losing hurts. I know how much we've won under Jimmy, and that's a lot because just his competitive nature. So I have no worries about that. as for the resentment, I really don't believe that it's there. I do believe you go back to the competitor. Yeah, I bet Jimmy, and you know, we've had those conversations. Jimmy did think we, we made a mistake when we said, hey, we're going to go draft a young kid, you know, but hey, he's going to be a professional. And so, as for resentment, I don't think so, because, you know, and, you know, Kyle talked about it yesterday. He spent so much time with him. Kyle, not only our head coach, he's our offensive play caller. He's in the quarterback meetings every day. So there's a lot of time spent. I know there's the big thing about what Jimmy might have said on the field.
The lip reading. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can tell you, you know, Kathy Lynch can talk about that one, because she used to look at me when they started miking you, you know, and Johnny, you were raised differently. Oh, we did not raise you like that. You
they
know?
Get so, you're busted, John. You're busted. Yeah.
If we're all responsible for all the things we say during the heat of battle, then we're all in trouble. So I guess that's where I'll leave that. And we're all good. We just need a win, fellas. That's what
it.
We need.
By the way, are you a lip reader, John?
I am not a lip reader.
No, you're better off, man. Yeah.
Did you make a run at that thing that went viral?
I did not. I saw the video. I didn't even try it. But like my sources tell me, he was saying, "Listen to Murph and Mac. Listen to Murph."
Well, that's probably the smartest thing. Yeah,
you just played that very nicely. Very nicely. He's a that's a Stanford education right there, John, at work. Okay, well, listen, he played so poorly in that game. Even if you're a Jimmy detractor, you've never
it was just a bad night. Yeah, it was.
So I mean, how much of it is? I mean, there's excuses and then there's reality. Like, and I don't know if you live in a world of excuses, John. The NFL is probably not an excuse league. That said, he hadn't practiced all summer. He hadn't done the spring with you guys. He hadn't, you know, been the QB1 in quarterback except for that week of practice.
Well, he did reference that after the game, too.
Is that a mitigating factor? Is that an acceptable mitigating factor?
It could be. I mean, there's a difference between excuses and you know, I guess, you know, I happen to believe that, like, explanations like that, at the end of the day, all they are is just excuses kind of in a prettier form. So, like, ultimately, we're paid to get a job done. But there is – it's very – you know, it makes sense that, you know, Jimmy not being involved, Jimmy not having a ton of reps, at some point that's going to catch up to you. Now, I don't think we could have done it any different. The thing played out the way it played out because it had to play out that way. I know I'm glad we have Jimmy. He's played one really good game when he came in against Seattle, and he played against a really good defense in Denver that got after us a little bit. That happens in this league. We have to fix that. Jimmy has to fix that. But I do also think that Jimmy's performance was more symbolic of breakdowns all over the field. You know, that was the problem with our second half especially. You know, the first half started fairly well. And, you know, the second half, we just didn't keep it going, and we took turns making mistakes, most of them mental. Those are things we can't control. Those are things we have to control. And so the focus will always go to the quarterback position. But that, believe me, that was a team effort that we didn't play well offensively. I thought our defense was outstanding. What I love about those guys is that they feel like they could have done more. They feel like they could have taken the ball away when the ball was loose a couple times. Had they gotten that, they would have put the game away. So I love that mentality. I expect our offense to be better, and it's got to start right away.
For sure. John Lynch with us, 49er general managers. The 49ers hit the practice field today to get ready for the Rams on Monday night. It's always a big game now. Ever since the Rams were back in 2016, start looking through those games. They've been some big ones. And Monday night will be the next in the lore. Sort of going from the big picture to the smaller picture. Actually, this isn't a small picture. I should strike that from the record. This is a big picture thing. It's the left tackle situation. I mean, John, you've spoken about Trent Williams on a number of occasions. It's one of your greatest moments is acquiring him in a trade. And then he goes down. And now Colton McKivitz. This is a guy you guys scouted and drafted. I mean, you called his name in the draft room for a reason. But there's no denying that the shoes he has to fill are of a future Hall of Famer. So how big a deal is this to you, John?
It's a big deal. I mean, I think Trent Williams, when you're speaking about him, I firmly believe this isn't just GM speak. This is just me watching what I see on tape week in, week out. You're talking about one of the better top five players in our league. I really believe that. And he plays at that consistent of a level, whether it's the remarkable stuff where he's throwing people 5 yards in the air, but just the down-in, down-out consistency and excellence of work. It's unparalleled at the offensive line position. So those are tough shoes to fill in. Having said that, Colton made a big jump last year when he filled in for Trent late in the year against the Rams and really played at a high level. And we were able to function. Are you going to get Colton to play up to Trent's abilities? Probably not. You know, that's just it's like maybe Anthony Munoz in his prime. I mean, that's rare air. But Colton can play in this league. What the coolest thing is to see the confidence coming out of that game late last year against the Rams. Colton's a better football player since then. And we've got a lot of confidence in him and his abilities to go function. And, you know, we'll work like heck. Trent is already doing that to get back. And, we'll have to hold it down. That's this league, though. You know, like the Rams, yeah. Whitworth was their left tackle and a very good player. And they didn't know whether he was playing until deep into the summer. And he decided to retire. Well, they had to move on. And so they've got their own issues. We have ours. And, we gotta find a way.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
Well, John, over on the other side of the ball, the defensive line, a couple of questions there, too. You know, we were talking about Javon Kinlaw, watching him perform last week, and he didn't have a great night grading-wise. It looked like he was, kind of regressing in terms of his pads being up on the line. And then, of course, Eric Armstead wasn't able to go. And just about those two guys, John, about what you saw from Kinlaw, and just where is Armstead with the plantar fasciitis and the whole nature of dealing with that ongoing problem?
Yeah, Eric's trying to – he's doing his best to work through that. It's a guy that started 70 straight games for us. And
yeah,
he's a difference maker when he's out there. I have incredibly flat feet, so I've never dealt with that plantar fasciitis, but I've had teammates, and it's painful. It's like every step it's there. And they're working tirelessly to try to work through it, hopeful – I don't know if that's the right word. We're holding on to hope that Eric can get out there because he's just such a big presence in there, such a good football player. We're different with him. Having said that, JK, JK is a really good player, kind of coming into his own. Ridgeway is giving us a lift. Kevin Givens, Kerry Hyder, we are deep on the D-line, so we feel comfortable now, but you can't deny we're a different team when we have Armstead and Kinlaw humming. So, we'll see how those guys play out. Fortunate that the game's not till Monday, gives them a little extra time, and we'll see where they're at when we line up on Monday night.
Is there a concern that it's a season-long battle for him?
With Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that those things can nag I've played with some guys that the best thing that's happened is that plantar fasciitis. I don't even know what it is. It's a ligament. It's a muscle that it just tears, because then it's gone, you're out for like 7-10 days and then you go play, but it is just kind of a nagging thing that it's fired up right now and it's hard to avoid, but Eric is working. Our trainers are doing a really nice job trying to just quiet it down so that he can go play and play effectively.
Yeah.
That said, John, as an old safety yourself here, you have to think these first 3 weeks, this defense is, I'm blown away by how they're playing right now. I mean, it's actually really unfortunate that the team is 1-2 given those three defensive performances. But I mean, I'll give you a chance to sort of gush and brag here. This unit you guys have assembled, what's the ceiling for these guys? I mean, I don't want to overstate things, but it could be historically good,
I really believe that. I believe we're good at every level, up front at the linebackers in the back end. We're stronger at corner than we've ever been. We're taking the ball away. You see Hufanga playing at just as high a level as any defensive player in the league right now. I mean, he is balling, making plays all over. I think our D-line is just scratching the surface of how good they can be. And, you know, having played on some great defenses, it really becomes like a standard where this is not just like a great effort. This is the expectation each week. And how what's the next step we can take it? And when you start thinking like that, you know, when you, as our guys were the other night, man, that game was on us. We could have taken it away. That's the right mentality. And these guys have that, led by Fred Warner and some of these guys, Bosa and Greenlaw. It's just awesome to watch these guys play right now. And I think they're just scratching the surface. I think they've got more in them. I know they do. And it's going to be a fun group to watch.
John,
they got a big challenge though in Matt Stafford. I mean, he is a big time player, and you know, the Rams, this is a true rivalry. It's always physical. They get up for it, we get up for it, and it's Monday Night Football. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
That was going to be my next question, is that these guys are, you know, your competitor on every level, and you know, you and Les Snead are competitors, and Sean McVay and John and Kyle are competitors, and the Niners and the Rams are competitors and have been since 1946 or whatever. So have you, in the time you've been in the Bay Area, have you felt that? Like, you and the Rams are two franchises angling for the same prize, and you seem to see each other in big games a lot. Is the blood boiling?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of we've competed hard, and you know, we had the better of them for a while. They got it when it mattered most at the end of last year, and that hurts. That sticks with us. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of respect, I think, mutual respect between the teams, but also not a lot of love loss. I mean, we're out there to win, and they are as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to watch our guys play. That's the great thing about this league. It takes a little while. It's not like baseball where you get to go out the next night. So you have that build, and you have that bad taste in your mouth for a while, and then it's what you do with it. And we have to respond, and we got to respond against a very good football team. And that's our opportunity that's in front of us, and we get to do it at Levi's in front of our fans, and we need that place to be rocking, and I expect that it will be.
It will be. It will be. Hey, last one for you is the league-wide question. Just as a man who's a Hall of Famer and a representative of the league, of what happened last night with Tua and the league. And obviously, none of us is a doctor. None of us has the medical report. We just know what we saw. And for the perception of the NFL, that was a tough one last night. And, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, John. You wore the gold jacket. What does it say about the league or the medical clearance or the violence of this game? Did you have a thought you could contribute to the conversation, hopefully maybe advance it?
Well, I think first and foremost, your heart just goes out to the kid. I mean, I've experienced that a lot. I think they call it a fencing mechanism where, you know, but I haven't seen like the fingers, you know, curl up like that. You know, you see like one arm, and that's always, it's a hard thing to take. It kind of makes you queasy in your stomach. You know, guys on the team, on the field, that's traumatic. People really, they're, yes, we compete really hard, but there is a tremendous amount of respect and love for each other. You want the best. No one wants to see someone get hurt. So that's real hard to stomach. Having said that, you know, we'll see. I think they're going to do a really good job looking into that. Here's the one thing I can tell you from the days when I played, where it was, hey, how many fingers do I have up and you're back in the game, right, to there is a thorough and laborious and there are so many you know, cross checks in the concussion protocol. There's you know, we have our own team docs, but then there's three what they call UNCs, independent neurologists, you know, one on each sideline, one up in the box that can call people down. And so I think it begs the question, having seen what happened in Miami the week before, you know, what went wrong there, that playing on a short week, he was cleared A to go back in the game in Miami, and then, you know, cleared to play against, you know, against Cincinnati last night. I think that's what this investigation, but I can tell you that for real, I mean, that process is intense, and it has so many different avenues that, you know, if to catch a mistake. And so you know, I can't imagine it becoming, you know, more intense and more laborious, but I'm sure it will, because it's important that it is, because something was missed. And it's the one, I think the league's done a tremendous job, and that's one that you'll hear us often, hey, he's in the protocol. You know, we're not even supposed to talk about the protocol, such that we don't put timelines on it. There's a protocol in place, and I think that will be examined, and the league will respond accordingly. It was not a good look for our league. For
no,
sure.
It's definitely going to be something that, I mean, as with the NFLPA, probably have a lot to say about this, John?
Yeah, that's their job, to protect their players, but that's our job as a league, to protect our players. And like I said, I think we've made tremendous strides. It looks like there was a breakdown, but we'll see. I mean, believe me, with all that happening right in front of everyone, there will be an investigation, and we'll see what comes of it.
All right, we appreciate the conversation very much, as always. And hey, man. We know Monday night's going to be another intense game of high-level competition, and somebody's going to play some good ball. We'll see who it is. So we sure do appreciate it, John. We always look forward,
John,
to the conversation. Have a great weekend.
Good talking with you guys. Thank you.
Okay. There he is, John Lynch. That's just always a great comment. He's one of the,
yeah,
of
no,
all the years we've been doing this,
John.
He's one of the best.
John and Kyle, the both of them.
Well,
I mean,
you can ask him, you know, fairly hard
real
questions
and he'll give you an answer.
He doesn't tell you. He doesn't just stone silence you on the other end like Harbaugh.
That's why, even though Marcus and I think that we need a new open for the John Lynch show, because we do. Like, we just need, like, some new
want
stuff.
A fresh coat of paint or something?
I want a fresh coat of paint. It's Tony Salvador. It's heavy. Tony, what do you want me to do? Give it a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
All right, freshen it up a little. Whatever that means. I got to go figure that out. No, but I want to hear, like, you know, because all the stuff at the beginning, he's a great man. There's stuff blowing up. He's a man of honor. Yeah. So all that stuff
he's
is
a man of honor.
No, it's in the open as it is now. So all those attributes are on display.
Well, now I think we have the cut of cuts. Don't we?
My sources tell me he was saying, listen to Murph and Mac.
I mean, the guy's
John is, he's a polished.
You're a charmer.
He's a polished smoother on top of everything else.
He's a charmer, man.
And I always got to tell Marcus and these young kids, you don't understand the kind of player he was. He was very Ronnie Lott-esque.
He's got a gold jacket on, buddy.
Yeah, he's got a Super Bowl ring.
No, but like when Murph asked him, like, hey, are you pissed after a game like that? John Lynch played the game with that look in his eye like he
was pissed.
He doesn't
to talk about it. People tell this off the record, but they call it his alter ego. They call it Red 47.
Bro.
And that's...
He was kind of scary. It was like scary watching him play.
He's got like two... There's two. There's, there's
a
reason.
Over there.
There's a reason why that guy wrote that book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know what I mean?
Red 47.
Red 47. Okay. They said sometimes if you get him in the right place and time and you get him in the right... You look at him sideways, you can get Red 47.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.